Hello, everybody, and welcome to In the Doll World, a show spotlighting the passion and the people of the doll community. With your host, me, Georgette Taylor, former vice president and co-founder of Big Beautiful Dolls, and Tammy Fisher, owner of Curiosity Teach, Dolls and Collectibles. Join us as we talk to and feature fascinating new dolls and doll artists, from avid collectors to repainters, redesigners, bloggers, authors, filmmakers, and all the people in between as they share their journeys, give us glimpses into their processes, and what propels their passion and drive that help to keep the doll world moving and shaking. Here are your hosts, Georgette and Tammy. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us again for In the Doll World. I am your host, Georgette Taylor, along with my co-host, Tammy Fisher. Hey, Tammy.
Hey, love.
We are so excited today to interview Bukola Shamide. She is not only an author, she is also a software engineer and the creator of the 14-inch Shami Computer Science Interactive Doll. And we're so excited to be able to talk with her about her journey into how she got started in this from a software engineer to a doll creator. And thank you so much for joining us on the show, Bukola.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we're very excited to talk to you about your journey. So speaking of your journey, how did your journey start? First, to becoming a software engineer, and definitely how did a software engineer become a doll creator?
Yes. Well, it started as early as high school for me, when in 10th grade, I learned about this major called computer science. And at the time, there was no Google, so there wasn't any search engine. It was pretty much the library if you had to search for anything. But so I just thought, oh, do you know what? I love science, and computers are the way of the future. I think that would be a great major to pursue in college. So it was like my naive way of picking what I wanted to do. But of course, my dad did his due diligence and actually looked it up and was like, okay, do you know what? They make good money, so you can do it. Yeah, because no one in my family knew what computer science was about, but he looked into it for me. When I really got exposed to programming was in my transition year into college. I attended a bridge program at the University of Maryland, College Park. And in this bridge program, it exposed me to C programming during the summertime. And that's when I took my very first programming course. And I was actually in awe. I was taken back, like, oh my God, this is a different world, like the Matrix, you know? So it seemed kind of cool. It was kind of like the Matrix. Like, I saw the world differently after then. Yeah. And it was challenging. Just like any other field is challenging, but what I loved about it was the gratification I got when I got like a program or a project to work. There was this feeling of, wow, I just created something from scratch that actually works. So it was a gratifying feeling that kind of kept me in the major and kept me loving it and just pushing through it. So that's why I became a software engineer.
So I like the fact that you said that you had to check with your father and make sure you made enough money, right?
So. Oh, yes. You know, our parents, especially my Nigerian parents, I'm, of course, originally from Nigeria. And our Nigerian parents are all about education and making sure when you graduate, you got a job. You know, money. They want you to go into a profession that would afford you that kind of lifestyle. So, he already had a list of other majors he wanted for me. And I was like, no, I want to do computer science. He's like, wait a minute, what is that? So I actually do thank my dad for doing his due diligence and actually allowing me to pursue what I wanted.
Thank you, Dad. So you started off with the software. So how did software take you into dolls? What's the connection there?
All right, so now we got to fast forward 10 to 15 years later. Pretty much, I got to a point in my life where I felt very stagnant and I was unfulfilled and I wasn't content. I wasn't giving back to the community and I wanted to give back. There was just this incessant desire in me to give back. So the only way I thought of doing it, I was like, I want to do it in a way, you know, that I love. And one of the ways was to help out. Since I'm in this field, I know representation matters. I wanted to create a scholarship program. That's actually how the idea got started. I want to actually create a scholarship program to support young minority girls pursuing computer science in college. You know, it's like, I don't care how little the scholarship is because I ain't have that kind of money yet. Right. You know, I know in college I got like, you know, even $500 scholarships help with my books. But then I thought about it. I was like, you know what? If you actually want to help increase the number of minority girls in this field, you do have to work your way back, because by the time they get to college, they've already decided what they want to major in. So that's kind of where the focus came in. I started to dial back, you know, I need to target the younger generation, high school, middle school, and elementary school kids. And so I started thinking of product ideas. How can I reach these children and educate them on computer science concepts in a way that is entertaining, to kind of grab their attention, to make it exciting, but also impart in them with, you know, some nuggets of wisdom, right? And so while I was brainstorming, the very first idea that came up was actually my storybook idea. I thought it was going to be good to have this cartoon character embody this image, you know, mm-hmm. because we do know that representation matters. So seeing a young girl of color, you know, learning about these concepts, you know, another young child can look at her and be like, she's just like me. And actually, what I love about what I birthed with that Xiaomi character I created is the evidence right now on Amazon.com is where I'm selling the books. And a couple of customer reviews actually stand out the most. One of them, she said, after my daughter wasn't interested in anything about computers until she read this book. After she read this book, she's been talking about wanting to be a computer specialist. And aww. Another one, yes, can you imagine? And another one was a grandmother. And she said, after my daughter read this book, she looked at the character, Xiaomi, and said, she's smart and beautiful just like me. And that is just a testimony and a testament to why I created this character and what I'm doing. So thank you. Yeah. And so, of course, I have more ideas on new, you know, I just like to create innovative ways of reaching children. So, of course, I kept brainstorming. My goal is to build out my Xiaomi the Computer Scientist brand, to build it out into different products and services. So the next idea was, do you know what? How about a doll? And it's very interesting because me growing up as a child in Nigeria, usually it was just hand-me-downs from my sister. I didn't really have a lot of dolls. You know, it was mostly stuffed animals. And the only one doll I remember having was a Caucasian blonde-haired doll. So it's interesting that, you know, when I've come to this point in my life, because I'm being driven by purpose and I want to meet the needs of this younger generation. So I'm like, what are their needs? And I thought, you know what? A doll is a good entertainment value where they can play with it, but the educational part will come in her speaking. So she's been teaching these various computer science concepts and saying it in a fun way that would kind of resonate with them. You know, so that's just how it came up. I'm a woman of God, so I just believe the Lord just gives me ideas on how to do this. And it's funny because I've never been in the doll industry. I haven't worked in the doll industry. I don't have family or friends that are in the doll industry. But when this idea came to me, I never for one second felt like, oh, I can't do it because I don't have experience or I don't know anyone in this field. I just had this purpose and this drive. And I'm like, do you know what? You can just research, look for who can help you bring this together. Because I believe that whenever we all have a purpose, we're all a steward of that idea or that vision, but it doesn't necessarily mean we're the only ones that's going to birth it. Especially if it's a huge vision, there, you know, I call them destiny helpers. There are people the Lord sends to you to help you birth this vision. So I'm not necessarily the one pouring the mold, creating the dolls, but I found, you know, a manufacturer that could do it, that could create this concept, proof of concept. And I'm so happy that it's really resonating with a lot of people. It really proves to me that it is a good idea. So sorry, I don't want to talk too long.
No, you're good.
No, this is your show.
Loving it. We're loving
it. Yeah.
I mean, and the fact, what I love about it was the fact that you said, which I think is so key, especially for a lot of people who are listening to this who are not doll creators, but they're listening to it from a perspective of, you know, they're entrepreneur and maybe things are happening or they have an idea and think, oh, I shouldn't go into that because I've never done that. But, you know, what you said, what I think is so wonderful is that, yeah, I had this idea, even though I don't know anybody in this space, doesn't mean I can't do this. doesn't mean I can't, you know what I mean, fulfill my purpose and just move into that space and learn, you know, what I need to know. And also, like you were saying too, about your destiny helpers, I think that's so critical, because I think when you have a purpose and a passion and it's put in your heart by God, then, or the universe or whatever you want to, you know, assume that name to be for you, then the people show up, because this is what you are meant to be here to do. And so those people show up for you regardless, whether you have been in that space or not. I totally believe in that. And the fact that I love the fact that you started it because you wanted to just give back and you didn't think, oh, this is just going to be a doll, you know, just something I want to give back, but I want to have a lot more than it just being a doll.
That's
a connection in that. The space that you love to work in, which is software engineering, and it's, you know, coding and things like that, and giving them a leg up in areas that are so important. I mean, look at what we're doing now. It's all about technology. It's all about software. It's all about this is how you communicate to some degree. And for younger kids, this is going to be a huge thing for them, how they continue to communicate in their lives. So
I believe it's critical for every child to have some kind of competence level as far as computers, IT is concerned. Of course, I'm not expecting every child to want to be a software engineer or work in this IT field. That's not true, because everyone has their own individual calling. But just like everyone needs to be exposed to math and English and all those other core concepts, you know, it's true. And actually, that's one of the big pushes, is to have computer science in K through 12 as a standard. Was a standard class or course, however you call it, going through school. There's a push for that, like it should be your standard. So, and that's my whole purpose, is the way I'm teaching these materials, like the concepts. I'm not just trying to teach a kid how to code. That's actually not the main focus, because I see deeper into this computer science concepts, because it really teaches you about logical reasoning. Like it fosters your logical reasoning skills, your problem solving skills, and your creativities. And those are key skill sets that you can use anywhere in your life. You can make better decisions when you know how to think logically and not just from your emotion. You know how to solve a problem by identifying the root cause and coming up with a creative solution and not just chasing around symptoms. So that's where I'm coming from. And I think it's different than what's in industry right now. In industry is a lot of learn how to code with this game, drag this box here, drag that there, boom, you know how to code a game. And honestly, it's much deeper than that. It requires lots of lines of code to make things happen. So I'm taking a different approach to it and trying to teach these fundamental concepts that I think can actually translate into real life decision making.
That's good. So what type of things does your doll say? Do you have her there with you?
Oh, I don't have her here right now with me.
Oh, that's okay. So just give us some examples of the types of things she says so that we can better understand.
Okay, yes. 12 voiceovers. One of them is just a greeting, and the other 11 is all computer science terms such as algorithm, code, bug, program, artificial intelligence, loop, conditional, web address. So many of those things. And actually, I'm the one that actually did the voiceovers.
Oh, cool.
Yes, I did the voiceovers on the doll because to me, I actually interviewed a few kids, but I ended up just having to do it myself. Because to me, there is meaning in the inflection of your voice. Right. There is, you can actually communicate meaning with the inflection and all that stuff. And kids don't really necessarily have the maturity, well, at least the ones I interviewed, to really grab that. So, for example, a bug, right? So it goes, a bug is an error in a program or algorithm that causes something unexpected to happen. Do you see how I got excited towards the end? That inflection in my voice is to communicate to the child that's listening, you know, to get them excited about it. Like, oh my God, it's a really big deal. You know, this is what a bug really means, you know? And I think it adds meaning to it. It makes it lively. And it's not just a boring reading a definition. So I did all the voiceovers and I had a friend of mine just auto-tune it so it sounds younger. So that's how, hey, when there's a will, there's a way.
Yes, ma'am. And so it's not, because initially it sounded like you were saying you just had these words, but you actually have definitions or sentences using the words?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, because I was thinking, then what's a kid going to do with the word algorithm? You know, so I just needed to better understand that. Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's what I do. I actually adapt the definition to, like, you know, a, I don't want to say lower grade level, but to more so a child's understanding.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Technical and goes over their head. So, yeah, so I do adapt the definitions.
So does the doll just speak these words? I mean, these sentences, or is this an interactive type thing where they are prompted by the book, or how does this, is it standalone or is it with something else?
It is standalone. And the only interactive feature is the voice box button that you push.
Okay.
So that's the interactive feature. Like, you do have to prompt the doll to talk.
Okay.
Yes.
And what we saw, or what I saw on your website, is that you were having people do pre-orders, and you were looking at this like you had a pre-order time till January, the end of January. Mm-hmm. So did you meet your pre-order numbers?
So I was able to raise enough funds to actually push forward. So now I'm kind of in that process. The COVID-19 did kind of slow some things down, but everyone that's pre-ordered so far, I do keep them up to date monthly on what's going on. I'm transparent about it, whether they're challenges or successes, I share it with them and I push through. So right now, we're still finalizing the agreement with the manufacturer. I just want to make sure that my intellectual property is well protected. So I do have a lawyer looking into it, making sure that I dot my I's and cross all my T's. So I am pushing forward, and I'm hopeful that I'll be able to mass produce this come this fall. Okay, and if anything goes wrong, you know, God forbid it does, but if anything goes wrong, everyone that pre-ordered, I'll just give them their money back if it gets to that point. But I hope it doesn't get to that point.
That's good to know, because that, so other people who are listening will know the status and they can say, well, I can go and pre-order the doll to help move this project along. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
No, that's
okay. That's great.
So you, I meant to ask you, so how is your, I know you said this doll, does the doll come with the book, or they can purchase the book separately? How is the book going as opposed
to? Yeah, they can purchase the book separately. You know, I published the book back in 2018. So it's available right now on Amazon.com, you know, so in UK, Amazon UK, Amazon, Canada, you know, they can actually purchase it, the book there. Okay.
And where else are you marketing your doll? Are you a part of doll groups, or how are you getting the word out about your doll? What has been the response from your doll as far as in that particular science arena?
Yes. Oh, my God. So, I mean, the last marketing, you know, the marketing campaign I did late last year was really where I did a lot of marketing. Right now, I'm not marketing anything regarding the doll because I'm in the production phase of it. But the feedback, oh, my God. The feedback I've gotten, especially in the science community, a lot of other techies are there. They're excited. They're inspired. That's the word I'm looking for. They're inspired by what I'm doing. And I'm just honored to be that kind of inspiration to others to see that, wow, she's doing it. She's doing big things. She's doing something new. And they can also pursue their dreams as well. And I've gotten a lot of journalists contact me. So I know I have a lot of articles out there right now, Afro Tech, you know, Face-to-Face Africa, Black Enterprise. And but I have a bunch of articles that came out during that campaign season. And now I'm actually be doing podcasts. It's actually my second podcast ever.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I had my first one a couple of weeks ago, but this is my second one. So this is more of this is marketing too, but this is the aftermath. This is the aftermath of what happened. However, what I'm doing right now, because it's interesting, I didn't think about this when I was building the product, but I realized I pretty much brought together the doll industry and the computer science education industry, you know, together.
That's good. So
it's like I'm in these spaces now, and that's so interesting to me. I'm actually going to be a keynote speaker later on in November, God willing, at American Black Beauty Dolls Association, American Association of Black Beauty Dolls in Oakland, California. So, you know, that's an honor for me to be in this kind of space and be able to come and speak to other people. But the other thing I'm also trying to do that I never thought I will do, but now that I'm in it, there I am learning about different toy industries or groups. So there is this Women in Toys group that I'm following, and I'm thinking I'm going to try to be a member of the group as well, because there are lots of awesome women in there, women that that are working for big name companies like Disney and Warner Brothers, Hasbro, or whatever. So it's really, it's going to be a good space to be in, to be able to network with all these other awesome women out there in this toy industry that could potentially open more doors for my brand.
Yeah, that's great.
At the end of the day, we need pioneers everywhere, you know.
Definitely.
So now you're just a pioneer, you know, in this space, and that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a great thing. So what has been your challenges, though, you know, creating this doll?
Yeah, well, the couple of challenges I think I've had, one is communicating effectively with the manufacturers during the whole process, being that these manufacturers are overseas. Right. And, you know, when you communicate in writing, sometimes it's misinterpreted. So having to do that multiple times just to get it right. There's that. And of course, there's always the financial aspect of it, where I'm able to finance what I'm doing, because I actually I know how to use my money wisely, as far as using credit cards wisely. So I don't just go in debt for the fun of it. And right. I already have a plan on how to pay it back. So this is a word for maybe a listener out there.
Yes.
If you have a passion, you have a dream, and you're not able to get, you know, that loan that you want from a bank or wherever, you know, I have this Bank of America credit card that I use, that they have a 0% interest on it for a year. So I actually take advantage of that. And I've done it multiple times to fund a lot of my dreams, is where I take advantage of this 0% interest rate for a year. And I use that money to fund my dreams. And come tax season, I pay it back in full. That's one way I've been able to fund a lot of this stuff, because honestly, if you really didn't have the funds, it's kind of hard to make progress.
Yes,
so that's, so that's how I've done it so far.
That's great.
I was just thinking, it kind of made me think about when I was doing my dolls and when we tried to fund it. I mean, we had letters to people like, hey, would you buy a doll? I mean, this was before the internet. This was so many more years since you were born, Bukola. so many more years. It's like ancient times, but it was 1999 to 2000. And, you know, the internet was not as vast as it is now. We didn't have all those opportunities, you know, so we literally had our doll on the website for like a year, trying to get people to purchase them, you know, and our funding was basically, are we going to write letters to friends and family? Can you just purchase a doll? You know, because at the end of the day, you got to do what you got to do you know, to fund that, you know? So they weren't having great interest rates back then, you know what I mean? For us to be able to use credit cards or anything like that. But the fact that there are definitely creative ways to be able to get your dream out there, if that's something that, you know, that you want to do and you're passionate about it, people will find a way. That's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And the other challenge I've had is me just having to wear so many hats at the same time. You know, I'm still working full time. I'm raising my daughter. You know, I have my nonprofit, CompSci ABC, which stands for Computer Science Awareness in Black Communities. So running that, and also running my for-profit. Wow. So I've struggled with that, trying to manage it. And at times, you know, when you're productive with one, you're not as productive with others. So it's kind of a balance that you have to play.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. But, you know, it is the role, you know, it is just, like you said, it's just another role. And we were talking to another young lady, one of the shows that we did earlier. I mentioned to her again, you know, just like I'm sharing with you, is that when we first started out doing the show, it was just about talking to people in the doll community and allowing other people who are not in the doll community to hear your stories. But at the same time, you know, Tammy had kind of mentioned that to me, that they're also talking to entrepreneurs, you know, and I think as a doll creator, you don't think of yourself as an entrepreneur, but, you know, that comes into play, and you have to always wear a multitude of hats anytime you step into this arena or anything that you do that's beyond your day job, you know, and it can become overwhelming, you know, like you said, you're a parent, you still have another job.
Yeah, I think it's really important, and I applaud you for having these multiple organizations, because we really do need to have more representation in the STEM community. I was looking at your dolls, and I wondered about the format of your doll. Why 14 inch? That's an odd size.
Mm-hmm.
So why did you choose that size? Because we see Barbies at 12, and then like the American Girls mm-hmm. size dolls at 18. We don't see very many 14 inch.
Yes, and I did do some research into that. I looked at the dolls my daughter had. With my image, the image in my head when I see a child holding my doll, clearly the Barbie size is just way too small to have that interactive voice box button in there. And two, I thought the 18 inch was really huge. To me, it was. It was just too long and huge. The focus to me is not just the doll, it's the educational aspect of it. I just thought the 14 inch was just a perfect size. You know, when I hold it, you can still hug it. It's still huggable. But it's not huge. So that's why I thought the 14 inch was the perfect medium.
I like that size too. I was looking at her. When you're looking at little children having the doll, she is much more manageable than the 12 inch or the 18 inch. And I like that her body is more compact. She's not real wide. She looks like, is she all like plastic vinyl resin, you know, something like that? She looks like she's
plastic vinyl. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. She's lovely. And I like, she is lovely. You know, I like the size of her head. She's got a larger head and big eyes.
Yeah.
You know, big expressive eyes. She's really nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, no. I'm happy to meet you. And so one of the things we were talking about earlier that I thought was interesting, this is before we actually started recording, was the way that we were connected with you was through another doll person who's in Britain. She works in Britain and Ghana. And I think that that's really, I mean, you were talking about going global. You're from Nigeria, but you live here in America. And we find out about you in America from someone who's in Britain. So, yeah, that's funny. Like the doll world is small and all so connected. Because the lady who we found out about you from, Ama, she runs Operation Sankofa.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, in Britain. And she was really excited about you.
Aw.
Yeah, so I'll have to try to hook the two of you up. She gives away black dolls.
Right.
I don't think just to black children, too.
Right.
Black dolls to children in Africa and in Britain.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she was excited about your dolls.
Thank you. No, I definitely should look her up and see what she's all about.
I'll connect the two of you. I think that you would love meeting her because she was, like I said, she was super excited when she told us about you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that connection.
Yeah. Okay. I'll make sure to get you connected. So what do we see for you in the future? Where do you plan to go with the Sami doll? Do you plan on doing just the one doll, other dolls, making more books? What's your future plan for the Sami?
Sami the computer scientist.
Sami. I'm sorry, I'm saying her name wrong.
Oh, it's okay. with Sami the computer scientist brand, like I actually am about to launch something else this weekend. But yeah, with the doll, this first iteration of it, this first production run, I'm going to gauge how it fares in the market. Just see if it's something I want to keep producing more of. And of course, improving on it, you know, adding Bluetooth technology or something, you know, that's a door I'll leave open to when I get to that point. And of course, with my Sami Computer Scientist book series, I call it a book series by faith because I only have one right now, but I've already started writing the manuscript for the next book. And, you know, I do want to have about maybe up to six or so different books in this series lineups because I have more topics I would love to cover, you know,
like
cybersecurity, cyberbullying, or gaming. There are just so many different aspects, but, you know, core concepts in computer science that I would like to touch and just create a fun story that kids can follow. And eventually, I would love these books to be animated, you know, to create an animated series, you know, in the future. That's the vision for that. I do have a computer science activity books as well on Amazon. I published it in October last year. So this is my first one. It's one for boys and one for girls. But the only reason why it's separate is because the illustrations are different.
Okay, I was going to ask why you did it separately. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the concept is the same. So one thing I want to do, I want to publish more activity books. So that's okay. With that, what I'm actually going to, about to release this weekend, hopefully, I actually recorded in person last year a computer science workshop. I did it in the classroom, had about 8 kids in the room, and I had my videographer record it. So what I'm doing with that content right now, I broke it up into different modules that kids could learn, and I have it on my site, and I'm about to launch that right now where people can just purchase the access plan and actually watch and actually download some of the activity sheets. So this is all proprietary. I created everything myself. So that's what I'm about to launch this weekend, is my Xiaomi Computer Science online workshop.
Okay. So do you have anything that you sell like directly from your website, or is everything through Amazon?
The books are published through Amazon. Of course, the online workshop is going to be directly on my site. And okay. I do have an e-commerce site. So my merchandise brand, I call it Smarts Plus Swag, because I believe everyone has a brain. So you have the smarts, you just need to apply yourself. And swag is just confidence. You know, you need to have confidence in yourself. So I call it Smarts Plus Swag. And it's actually a computer science inspired lifestyle empowerment brand is what I call it. So I have like different t-shirts and bags and hats with different, of course it has my Xiaomi characters on some of them, and some of them has empowering inscriptions like "this princess can code" or "this prince can code" and all these other ones. So those you can actually buy from my site.
Okay. Yeah. Very, very cool.
Thank you.
You know what I meant to ask you? I didn't hear this part, and I don't know if you have it. Have that? I know you said you have it in workshops, but do you have anything like once the kids purchase the dolls, then they could go online and learn more about what an algorithm does? You know, be a little bit more specific into what that does, like take them from the doll to the computer.
Yeah, it's something I've been thinking about actually. A friend of mine did mention that some kids are visual learners instead of just audio, like just hearing it. So they might want to see a visual of, you know, what is the algorithm? What does it do? So it's something that's in the back of my head on how to deliver that. But I'm actually glad you brought that up, because that's just reinforcing the fact that I need to do something about it.
Yeah,
that I need to provide maybe a bit more about it. But yeah, actually the online workshop right now, it does cover algorithms, so that might be sufficient, but I may add more content. We'll see.
Yeah, but that's so cool, though. It seems like you're doing such amazing work with these dolls and the idea that you had to bring science alive with them and computers and software and coding, because it's so needed in our communities. It really is. The more you enhance and, you know, the creativity and communication about what this is, the less fear that, you know, young kids have about getting into that environment.
So, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So the other thing that I'm going to ask, which is not so much about the dolls per se, but, you know, as always, I'm always curious to, you know, challenges, but I also want to know what's the most rewarding thing that's happened to you since you have been in this environment. I know you have rewarding things in your computer, in your software engineering life, but what is the most rewarding things that you've had out of creating this doll for not just for yourself, but for the children?
I love seeing my work create such an impact in the community. It's proof to me that I'm doing something right, and that excites me. That fulfillment that I was seeking when all of this started, I see it now. So I'm enjoying that fulfillment. You know, I'm living in my purpose. I'm content. I'm going to keep pushing. You know, I'm not resting on my laurels here, but excited when someone reaches out to me and there's this fulfilling feeling, you know, that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. That makes me happy. And I think that's what I take the most out of it.
Very nice.
Thank you.
This sister got lots of stuff going on, and it's all really exciting. Yeah. And, you know, like you said, it's really important that there are more of us in STEM communities, and we can start when they're little, like you said, with your doll. We just spoke to another sister who has a doll, and her doll speaks really beautiful words of encouragement. We can start teaching these children to see themselves in different ways, you know, as valuable and intelligent. We can help to transform the lives of, you know, not only these children, but their next generations.
Yes. No, I'm glad you said that. Everything you were saying was just resonating with me, because it's something I've seen. I'm still learning how to network and reach out and all that kind of stuff. But over time, I'll get better at that. But I definitely would love to partner with big brands if they're listening right now.
Exactly.
I would love that.
And it's so great because you know you are using it with your dolls. And I think it is such a way to penetrate, you know, a certain market, to get into the areas that you need to be in because you have a doll. And so that doll can carry on to be more than just a doll. And that's what it is. It's more
exactly. And that's what it is. And I'm glad people see that. They see that it's more than just a doll. It's more meaning to it than just a plaything, you know. And I just love, just to touch back on everything you were saying, you know, helping those in the community as part of it too, because with computer science, the IT industry, it does open doors for you to have a higher income. And also, I love the innovation aspect of it, because that's one of my big push, is to actually be able to innovate this, like to cultivate pioneers in this industry from little kids. I believe in breaking that ceiling that might be in their minds, like a mental glass ceiling. When they see this doll that talks, like that's educating them, like, oh, she's smart and beautiful just like me. That's a glass ceiling that was broken. They're on a mission. They have a calling. They're anointed to go do what they need to do in the community, because it's not for me, it's for others to be blessed. That's what I want my products to be able to do, to go into those communities, to open up their minds. I want to change the way, I want to reshape the way they think, thinking logically so that they make better decisions in life. That's what I'm saying. This is not just about coding, but just teaching coding. No, it's bigger than that.
Right.
Don't get me all excited here.
We're excited. It's great.
We all are. Yeah.
It's great. It's great. Yeah. You know, because, you know, at the end of the day, like you said, you know, we have this show because it's not just, it's about dolls, but it's also about the passion and the purpose, you know, and also knowing that, yes, you can play with dolls, but you can learn and you can educate and you can empower with dolls as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not one thing that you could do with dolls. There's so many other opportunities for you to get out there. And it just takes people who think differently, you know, like you said, and pioneers who have a different vision of what they can use those dolls for. And that's what you do. And that's what you bring to the table. And we really appreciate that in this community. We really do.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Yeah. I believe in your dolls. I believe in what you're doing. Yes. I believe in you're doing
some
great work. And we would love to have you back.
Oh, thank you.
Some other things. And when your dolls are ready to be produced or you're ready to sell them, whatever it is that we can do to help you, please reach out to us.
Oh, absolutely. I would definitely keep that in mind. Thank you for that. Yeah.
We are here. We're here to help to, you know, to get more dolls out, you know, to help people to understand what's going on. So it's not just about, oh, these dolls are cute or whatever. We also see ourselves as part of the marketing to assist people to get their dolls out. Yeah,
absolutely. Thank you.
So you're welcome, hon. Oh, so Bacola, can you just share with our listeners like the best place to connect with you? I know you said your dolls are on pre-order, but they can still come in and learn more about your story and pre-order a doll if they like. So just let them know where they can find you at.
Oh, yes. You know, listeners can go to our website. That's innovit-tech.com. So that's innovant-tech.com. And they'll find loads of information on there. We're also, of course, on social media. On Facebook, handle is innovit-tech, just one word. And on Instagram, it's innovant_tech on Instagram. So they can follow us there as well.
Thank you so much, Bacola, for being on In the Dawn World. This has just been an amazing interview. And
definitely. I'm sure
we'll have learned a whole lot about not just your journey, but the purpose and the passion and what you are going to be helping so many people move forward in their lives and how they think about themselves and their education and building communities. I think it's just wonderful, the things that you're doing out there. And I'm so glad that you were able to join us today for In the Doll World. And thank you so much. We really
absolutely
appreciate
I'm glad I was able to be here. You know, y'all got me excited, got me all passionate and stuff. You know, so it was worth it. This talk was absolutely worth it. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a beautiful, beautiful interview. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, sweetie. Okay. All right. We will talk to you soon.
Okay.
And thank you, listeners, for listening to another show of In the Doll World. We will talk to you guys next week. Bye.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to In the Dom World. Me and Tammy really hope that you enjoyed the show. Please don't forget to share our podcast with other Dom enthusiasts such as yourself. And if you would like to leave a message on how you enjoyed the show, or you want to suggest any guests that we should interview, as well as share information about what's happening in the Dom community in your area, please know that you can reach out to us at georgette.inthedomworld@gmail.com and or tammy.inthedomworld@gmail.com. Also, if you want to see some of the photos we will be posting of our guests, as well as the dolls that they talk about on the show, please visit www.inthedomworld.com. And until next week, add a little play into your life by collecting a doll, sharing a doll, or giving a doll a home. Until next week, thank you again for listening to In the Dom World.